time with Kristen's family and for Thanksgiving, so that was fun to be with them. Brother Les Newell, Pastor Les Newell, which is Kristen's grandfather, which I believe you still support, correct? He said to say hi, give you a greeting. He wished he could come with us actually and see you all, but said to let you know, give a greeting for him. And we're just thankful that we've been able to spend some time with him on this furlough. And he's looking really good, and God's really using him there in the church, our home church there in Houston. A little note here from my wife. Prayer cards, I always forget to say, if you didn't see our prayer cards, grab one if you want. They're one of our newest prayer card. And also we have a sign-up sheet if you want to get our prayer letter by email. We send them out, usually monthly prayer letter by email. So if you'd like to write your name, make it legible so we can read it well. And Kristen writes a blog, which is kind of like a website if you don't know what that is. If you have internet, you can check up on our ministry. It's got pictures usually. She does a really good job, tries to keep it up pretty regular. So it's a great way for you as a supporting church to keep up to date with what's going on in our lives and our ministry. So it's not always ministry stuff. And a lot of times it'll be something that you can relate with really, really well. So it'll help you to know how to pray for us. So if you have internet, I'd encourage you to go there and check up on us. And it'll help you to pray and keep in touch with us, you know. Because 4 years is a long time. I'm not sure if we're going to be gone another 4 years. Maybe less, but 4 years is a long time. You know, a lot of things happen, and if you don't keep up with us, and it's kind of hard. I don't know how we would keep up with you, but those are just things that it was nice to have, that the ways that keep up on our ministry that you can keep up. Want to show you a video here in a few minutes, but I just want to thank you again for supporting us and for praying for us. And I'm going to give a short challenge, and it's going to be partly on the issue of prayer, and I just really believe that God chooses to work through prayer. And the people you're going to see tonight are people, some of them, this is really interesting, we've been showing this video, you're now our 18th church that we've shown this video to, I think, something like that. And we're almost done visiting our churches, we have a couple more, but we put together the video probably a month before we came back to the States. And then probably a month after we got back here, two of the people on the video just left our ministry and went and basically pursued career or pursued another church or basically rebelled, and we started doubting even their salvation. Still not sure. So there, but just recently in the last 2 weeks, they've come back. So it's like it's made our video more valid again for what we're going to tell you. The first two people you're going to see here that we'll share with you, their names, Roberto and Andrea, they're back with us again, so we're excited. But again, it's just something that we got to keep on praying. We're not sure really if they're saved, genuinely saved, but God is working. We believe God is trying to do something in their lives. So I just thought that would be an exciting thing. You wouldn't know that if I didn't told you, and it's something to keep in mind as we share this video with you. So I'll do that right now. As you were hearing, we were praying for a place to either rent or a place to buy. We needed to find a bigger building. We're having a problem of not enough room. And we found a place 2 weeks after we got back from Brazil. My brother found a place that we're renting now. And I'll find it for you here. Or Pastor will find it for me. And it's deal. Sure. Thanks. We're just really excited about this place because it's in a really good location. This is actually a main road, a bus road, and several people have come visiting. Weren't invited by anybody of our church, just saw a sign and decided to show up at least one time, and so they heard the gospel, and we're just excited about that, and it's given us many ways of reaching out to people. And it's an area where, or it's a building, we're renting out just the lower part, not the top part. Interesting thing I was asking, I've been wanting to ask my brother for a while now. The owner lives on top, and I've been wanting to ask David, if my brother, if he had come, has he come to any of the services, you know, because he's right there. He has not come, but it's, David said that at times they'll come out of the service will end, and they'll come out to the front you see there where the car is parked right there, and just to fellowship, talk, and he'll be right, there's like a little patio right there you see, and he'll be sitting out there with his wife just talking, and So my brother and I think that they he probably at least hears the singing, and we're just hoping that one of these days he'll show up. He's actually invited people to come. He hasn't come yet, but he's invited people to come. In fact, he said to my brother recently, I think there's 4 people coming this next Sunday, and they didn't show up. But it's just interesting how God's working, and we're hoping and praying that he will show up. And if you see the property on the right side, you see that? My brother just asked him for permission to clean that up and basically use that as a soccer field. My brother's thinking of putting in grass. And as you know, soccer is really big in Brazil. So he's going to try and clean it up. It's not a big lot, but they don't need a big lot to make a soccer field and use it for children and teens especially. We really haven't, if you notice, we don't have really any teenagers yet. We have some kids that are getting close to that age, but just thinking of ways to reach out to young people, you know, 13 to 18 years, that range. So we're thinking this might be one way of reaching out to them and sharing the gospel. The great thing about having your own little soccer field is, because we have used soccer in the past, but what we do is we rent out a gym, and we have an hour to play, and so everyone's like, come on, we got to play, and they don't want to give you an ear to hear the gospel, you know, because they're thinking about their hour, and it's up. Well, we have all the time in the world, you know, so you say, look, we're going to play. We can play for a couple hours, but we just want 5 or 10 minutes to share the gospel, and they'll probably listen, you know. So it's a great, we're hoping for a really good opportunity to share the gospel with all kinds of people through that kind of ministry. So it's good to have our own place. I say that lightly, you know, we're renting, but it's a reasonable place and a place with room to grow. It was exciting to hear that the people got involved. The women, the children got involved getting things set up, cleaned up for our first service. Our men got involved putting up dividers. And so even one of the men in there is not saved, but he came and helped. His wife comes to the service. So that was encouraging to see everybody kind of pitching in and making it their own. And it was nice to have our own sign, Igreja Batista Redenção. Any guess on what the word Redenção, the word R there, what is that? It's a biblical word. Anybody know Spanish? Redemption. Yes, redemption. So I'm excited, I like the name. And we have our main service is at night. They probably just finished. And it's at 7 o'clock. I'm forgetting the times. I've been away too long. I mix them up with Wednesday night. Wednesday night we do a Bible study. It's really kind of like Sunday school. We started Sunday school Sunday morning. A lot of people didn't come Sunday morning. Sunday morning is their only time off. They work on Saturdays till noon, so Sunday morning is their big day off. All day Sunday, actually. But Sunday morning was hard to get people there. So we took that and put that on Wednesday night, and everyone basically usually comes, and we were excited about that. So it's kind of our Sunday school, we call it, David and I joke around, it's our Wednesday school, you know, at night. And prayer time we have on Sunday morning. We meet for an hour and we pray for an hour. And of course, you know, it's going to take time for people, young believers to value prayer, but they're coming often, very often now to pray. So that's kind of our regular services there. And this was our first service in our place. And you're probably wondering, because I say there, it was about 40 degrees that night. Does that seem cold to you or not? Not really, right? But they don't have indoor heating. I'm feeling the heat right now in here, and it feels great. They don't have that. And they don't have the carpeting, the nice, comfy carpeting that we have in here. Usually they don't have that. So they're usually, as you see there, it's a tile. So everything feels colder, maybe 10 degrees colder, maybe more. So you bundle up, basically. That's your main way of staying warm in church. So that's just it was great to be indoors. We were meeting in my brother's garage, and there was no way to shut it off. We used the tarp, and that just wasn't doing it. And God, in the perfect time, provided this place for us. So we're really excited about having this place. But like I said, it is our own place, but we're renting it. Anytime the owner can just say, okay, I'm going to use it now for a business, or I want it, you know, for whatever, and then we don't have a place, you know. Or he could raise it, you know, he could raise it double easily, and we wouldn't pay it, but somebody would. So that's why we're already raising funds to buy property. We've looked at some places around the area. They are expensive, and the reason being is, one of the main reasons is, we don't live on the island, we live on the mainland, but we're a suburb of that island race, basically. Everything's moving our way, because the island, there's no more room to grow, no more businesses to build on. basically, you know, no more housing available. So they come our way, and land is just skyrocketing where we are. And we're looking at, this is 3,900 square feet, which is about a third of an acre. One lot, we actually want to buy two lots, but just for one lot right now, we're starting to raise funds, $55,000, which I know is very high. Even comparing with here, comparing with North Brazil, it's very, very high. But this is what we're trying to raise. And also, we're trying to raise another $20,000 to put a first phase of our building. It wouldn't be our permanent full building, but just something initial that we could move out of the rental into this initial phase, initial part of the building. So we've kind of figured around $20,000. So we're trying to raise around $75,000. We're trying to raise it through the people there. We're trying to raise it. My brother has 20 churches that he's asked to help. As I've been on furlough, we've been asking people to pray and to think about how they can help. We already have over $11,000 raised, and then just in the furlough, just in the offerings, basically, that churches have given us. And there's been a few people that have already given towards this, you know. So we're excited already, and praying about what God's going to do. You know, we know His time is perfect. So we're just presenting this to you. You see that there's ways that you can give. We're just putting it as breaking it down to see it's a doable thing. And if God should lay it on your heart, you know, it can be done as a church, you're giving, or as an individual. Then it doesn't have to be something you do as a church. But just pray about it and pray that God would provide this in His timing. We believe that God wants a church in this neighborhood. There's a huge need for a church that preaches the true gospel. We have a lot, as we said, there's a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses, a lot of Mormons, of course Catholics, and they're not preaching the gospel. They're not. And so there's a huge need for a church there to be established. So we ask that you keep on praying with us in that regard. Do you have any questions about the video or about these slides, anything, any comments? Yeah, Pastor. That's a great question. I don't know exactly figures. I wish I could tell you. But we're in the city. A city was a suburb of the capital city. The city itself is 200,000. But I'd say we're probably in our neighborhood. It's a neighborhood of probably 20 to 30,000 people, maybe more. And it's growing. Houses popping everywhere just around us. So my brother and I didn't plan strategically. Let's go plant a church in a place that's going to start growing. We found that out later. That's the way you're supposed to do it. Plant a church in the area that... So we're just... God is just, you know, He's the one intervening. And actually, we were meeting at my brother's house. We moved about half a mile. So we're still close, but this area where we moved is actually a different neighborhood. It doesn't mean these people can't come over here. It's really close. They connect one to another. But this different neighborhood where we're renting this place, it's got already several established houses, but several yet to be established. A lot of things going up. Hospital going up, school going up, new houses going up, so, and lots of land available. So that's why, that's another reason I'd like to buy land as quick as we can get. At least the land, you know. The building, maybe we can wait, but buy before the land goes up or before someone buys the land, you know. So we're in a great location, and there aren't any very close by. There are Baptist churches in our city, but not close by where we're working. In our neighborhood, there aren't any. But numbers, I wish I could tell you, but I'd rather not. Probably be off. It's democracy. Yeah, yeah. Now, we just had our first woman president voted in. So, not doing any damage to the country. So, I don't know how much good she's doing, but don't want to put her down. So far, we're fine with her. Lots of freedom to work. In fact, more freedom may be there than here to work, like in things like public schools. They're very welcoming of doing things like you saw my brother with a little balloon on his head. We were doing an event. And they said, come back and do that again. We shared the gospel, and they took no offense. And so something we can do still there, freedoms like that, we praise God for. We do have a curriculum we translate. It's called Christianity Explained. There's another one called Christianity Explored, which I also heard is good, but this one's called Christianity Explained. It's out of, I think it's out of Australia. I found out about it, and we actually asked for permission to translate it. It's very good. My only problem with it is I don't like the title of it. You know, what's wrong? If you go and tell a Brazilian, let me do a study with you on Christianity Explained. Well, every Brazilian thinks they're a Christian. So they'll be like, no, I don't need it. I'd rather be called the Gospel Explained, because it goes to the book of Mark. It's really neat. It's got visuals, great visual ideas, and it's just a sixth study, I think, on different parts of the Gospel of Mark, and it's really good. It starts with the divinity of Christ and goes through, of course, his resurrection, his death, resurrection. So it's really good study. And then there's another one called Bible Explained, which you can do. If they still don't get saved after that, you can give an overview of the Bible. That's a really neat study. And gives a really good picture of God's big story in the Bible, and it's really I enjoyed it, just thoroughly enjoyed teaching it. So that's one thing we do. But you know, it's like in our video we talk about doing Bible studies, but it's not always, you know, like always doing a Bible study. Sometimes it just means meeting someone, meeting a neighbor, establishing a relationship with a neighbor or with a friend or with a coworker. And just trying to keep on, you know, going to their birthday party, even though you don't want to, and things like that. All right, building those kind of relationships. That's kind of many of the ways that God has brought people to us. You know, we plan things a lot of times. Many of the times, God does things through the unplanned things, and we just got to be ready. You know, so then there's a lot of times you can ask my wife when I'm like, I don't want to go to this birthday party, or I don't want to reach out today. I'm too tired. You know. But I'm glad that God keeps on working and keeps on using us. So there's a lot of different ways that we can reach out. Any other questions? I'm getting to it in my challenge. Actually, I'm going to make it real personal, but I'm glad you asked. It makes me know you want to know. No, but I'll share. I'm going to make it real practical, and from Philippians. But just in a nutshell, usually, I think Satan uses the small things in our lives to trip us. You know, like you just got done preaching Sunday night, and not that many people came, and then Monday morning. Someone invites you to a birthday party and you don't want to go that night. But that's actually the very thing that God wants to use to build a bridge to share the gospel. But you don't want to do that because you're tired from already ministering. So then you pray for me and for Kristen that we will do what we don't feel like doing. Because missionaries are not super special Christians that we're always ready to evangelize like we always want to, because we don't. You know, and many times we're just as afraid as you are. I can't. I'm petrified of doing like door-to-door evangelism. I don't like to do it. And so I'm not sure it's the best way even these days, especially where we work. But the point is, we are normal people, you know, in terms of we have your fears, we have same desires, same, you know, weaknesses. So those are ways in which you can pray. But I'll give you some more ideas in just a few minutes. But my parents are. They're going back Wednesday. They've been on furlough too in the last few months, and they're going back Wednesday to they live close, about 3 hours north of us. So that's another added blessing we get. Spend time with them a lot. Well, let me share with you. I won't be long. This is not even a full-fledged message. It's more of a devotional. That eases you, right? Where I want some feedback. I'm going to ask you a few questions. I'm not going to pressure you to answer, but just get you involved a little bit so I can make sure you're awake. Philippians 1. I wanted to share just a few thoughts from Philippians 1, if you have your Bibles. And you can go there. Philippians chapter 1. And verse 1, I'm going to read verse 1 through verse 5. Just follow that with me. It says there, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. The phrase that I really like here, and I just want to focus a little bit for a few minutes, is that phrase, fellowship in the gospel. The word fellowship, another word for it would be partnership. Partnership. And Paul is going to be talking a lot about this idea here, especially in his first part, about being partners in the gospel. Now I want to ask you, what does it mean to be a partner in the gospel? What do you think that means? Co-labor. Okay, so work together, right? Good, I like that. What else? What else do you think about when you think of the word partners in the gospel? I don't know if it's at four or in, but in the gospel. You have the same goal. I like that. So you're working together for the same goal. Anything else? Any other thoughts? Input and responsibility. Good. You're working together, have the same goal, you have input, you have responsibility in that, all right? Yeah. Good. Yeah. Exactly. Good. Good. I like you said that, because not everyone is gifted in the same area, right? Not everyone is good at the same thing, all right? So God has chosen to use different giftings, right? And everyone's working together, but not everyone's doing maybe the same exact thing, but they're all doing this with the co-laboring for the same goal, which is the gospel's sake. Now, are we partners? Okay. When did we become partners? When did we start being partners? Okay. All right. So you're thinking here, and this was not a wrong answer, because I was going to get to this answer, but there's another answer too I'm looking for. But this answer is when you're thinking of the actual, when you decided to support us, right, prayerfully and financially, right? Okay, so that's not true. I was going to go there. A lot of times people give me the other answer I'm also looking for, which is, yeah, okay, you're not wrong, okay? And this is not, I'm not trying to give trick questions here, but these are both right, all right? We became, first of all, partners in the gospel in a sense when we were saved, right? We're all part of this big family that God has saved, right? Through Christ, He saved us. He called us, He saved us. And that's actually what Paul talks about here in verse 7. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. What grace? The grace that we receive, right, in Christ. So we're all, if we receive Christ, you receive grace. And if you receive grace, and if I receive grace, we're partners in that sense. So that's where we first started. And I like this, because what happens is when we were saved, we were all united, and God now wants us to co-labor, to work together for a common goal, to care for each other in that co-laboring, all right? Some other things that I thought about in working together for the gospel, there's one thing, and I was very encouraged to hear that. I've heard it this morning. Some of the things you've done as a church, some outreach things. I think you did a hot dog giveaway, hot dogs and drinks, and to the community. We did this, we didn't do exactly the same thing, but we've done similar things where I've noticed that if you do an event where you offer something free, it tends to work, no matter where you are, you know. So those are things you're doing here. Those are things we're doing there. So we're really not doing anything that special or that much greater or different than you are, as I've heard this morning many things you share with me. So I was really excited. I was like, this is neat, you know. This is what partnership is, you know. You're working here, we're working down there, but we're basically co-laboring for the same goal, which is to share the gospel and to continue to grow in our knowledge of God and our price. If you see here in verse 14, you know that Paul's in jail, right, when he writes this, all right, maybe you forgot, but he was in jail, and it's interesting, it says, many of the brethren, verse 14, in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. These were just the common brethren, the common people. These weren't called missionaries, apostles, pastors, but when they saw their partner being in prison for their faith, what is it that they could have, how is it that they could have reacted? You saw Pastor Gass be put in prison because he was sharing the gospel. What could you be tempted to do? Run. Would the first thing be in your head, I want to share the gospel? Since Pastor Gass went to prison for sharing the gospel, I want to share it even more now. Would that be the first thought in your head? It wouldn't be the first thought in my head. First thought in my head would be how to play it safe. It's just interesting this, because these people, common Christians, not the called apostle, they were reaching out with the gospel because they were partners with Paul. And when they saw Paul go to prison for preaching the gospel, it says they were waxed bold. That means they became even bolder to share the gospel, to preach the gospel, right? So those are just things I see here. And the issues of being partners in the gospel is that you're sharing the gospel here and you're using it with the gifts God's given you, right? And I'm down there sharing the gospel with the gifts God's given me, or with the abilities He's given me and Kristen as well. So, and even using my kids. So God is using all of us. He's wanting to use all of us for the gospel. Now, there's a guarantee I really like in verse 6. What is the guarantee that Paul says here that God gives us? What is that guarantee? All right. He's going to finish the work He started in us. What did He start in us? You've already stated it, but once again, what has God done in us? Saved us. Did we save ourselves? No. He saved us. He started a work in us. We didn't seek Him. So here He's saying God started something, a miracle, saving us, and He's going to finish it. I don't know if you're like some people who start things and don't finish them. Is anyone like that? But God's not that way. And He started the work of salvation, and He's going to finish it. But how does He finish it? Any ideas? How does God finish the work that He started in us? What does He use? What are the means He uses? His Word. Yes. So He uses His Word through many ways, through people sharing your Word with you, right, Jim? Brother Jim? Encouragement, preaching, one-on-one time when someone says, let me share something with you that I've heard in the Word. Those are different ways that the Word can use, God can use the Word through somebody saying the Word for you, for the Word to be more and more completed in your life, right? Anything else? Holy Spirit is very important, right? God uses His Holy Spirit to save, and He uses His Holy Spirit to sanctify us. Anything else? Verse 9 gives us one other clue as to what God uses, what Paul did, and I believe he did it because he knew God uses this to complete a work in us. What does Paul do? What's that? He does, but what did Paul do? He prayed, right? He prayed. He says, this I pray. So Paul believed that God guaranteed he would finish his work in people, Christians, right? But how is he going to finish his work in Christians? One way is through the Word. Another way is through the Holy Spirit. Another way is through prayers of the saints, one for another. Does that make sense? And that's what Paul believed. He didn't just say, well, God is guaranteeing he's going to finish the work, so I don't need to pray. Right? So what does he pray for? I want to end with this because it's a great prayer. And this is, Pastor Gass, this is my answer to you. How can you pray for me and how you can pray for Kristen? And I really mean it. I'm not just saying, oh, you know, just pray this nice little spiritual prayer. This is actually really practical. First of all, what does he pray for? Verse 9. That our love will abound. Not just that our love will stay the same. He didn't say, I pray that your love will continue to be the same. He's saying, I pray that your love will abound. Abound is a word, it means to grow, to be stronger, to overabound is the idea here. All right? He says that your love would abound yet more and more in what? In knowledge and in insight or judgment. Discernment, maybe another word your Bible has. So the first thing you can pray for me, and I should pray for you. I confess I don't pray enough for my supporting churches, but I've been speaking this to several churches, and God's really used this to convict my heart that I need to pray for you. You need to pray for me. And you can pray also for the believers here, even if you don't remember their names, the people that you saw in the video, that our love would abound in knowledge and discernment. That's, or in judgment. That's important because our love can abound more and more, but not in knowledge and in judgment. Meaning, we can love a lot of things that are not really, they're not worthy of our love. Does that make sense? Can you think of anything that you can love? I'm not talking about clear sin things. I'm talking about things that are not wrong, like food. Right? Yeah, running. I love running. I'm going to run a marathon on Saturday. I'm going to try to run one. But I can really get into running. It's become something in my life, at times almost an idol. I've seen how it can draw more love from me than it should. So sports? Anything else? Sleep? Yeah. Exactly. Anything else? What should we love? Another. Yeah. It's the second greatest commandment, right? Love. How's it go? Your neighbor as yourself, right? What else do we love? Big screen TVs? We should love the Lord. Should we love... Should we love prayer itself? Do you think maybe Paul was talking about that here? We give so much lip service to prayer. I do. I'm going to say me. I do. But a lot of times it's not a reality. I say it's important, but I don't do it. Right? So these are just things. He goes on. He says, pray that your love would abound. So you can pray that my love will abound in knowledge and judgment. But then he says, verse 10, you see that. That's connected then to what we just are talking about, loving more and more, so that, verse 10, you can include that, so that you may approve things that are excellent. There's nothing wrong with going out, maybe you did it even, on Black Friday, and getting 55-inch TV, right? I don't know if it's probably bigger than that, but there's nothing wrong with that, and if you did, that's fine, but it's wrong if you approve of that as if in your heart, that is excellent. Would you agree? That's wrong to think of that as excellent. That TV is excellent. It's nothing wrong with liking it and enjoying a football game on that. I enjoy it. Watching movies on that thing. But that thing is going to someday break down, or it's not going to last for eternity, is it? It's just a material thing. But would you admit with me that we as Christians can love lots of stuff that's material and temporal? We can get into that. I can get into that. You know, I'm down in Brazil, and I'm trying to figure out a way to justify buying just a 32-inch, but it's 3 or 4 times more down there because of taxes and so on and so forth. So you can pray for James that he will not love things that are not excellent, that he will not approve things that are not excellent, because not only is it wrong to give all your love to that, but what happens is when you give your love to those things that are temporal, you take it away from the things that do matter, No, I'm over here, oh, this TV is so important, and over here is a soul that needs to hear about Christ. Or it's my own children that need my time, and I'm ignoring them, and I'm not loving them. They are excellent, and I'm giving time to this thing that is not excellent. See, the problem is not that we like certain things like running and food and other things, okay, that you've mentioned. There's nothing wrong with that, but we make them gods, we make them excellent, and to the detriment of ignoring the really excellent things like souls and like God's Word and loving God and loving people, we ignore those because we're so distracted. And I'm talking about me, all right? So that's why this prayer is so such a good prayer for you to pray for the Taylors. That we would love what is love in discernment and judgment, love what is excellent. And then he goes on here, that she may, what's the next thing there? After approving what is excellent. Verse 10. That she may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. He's not saying that you'll be perfect, but he's saying so that you'll be a blameless person until the day of Christ. So you won't fall into sin, so you won't give your life to something that does not really matter forever. It does not have excellent value to it. So you'll be someone who is pure and ready for when Christ comes back. We need to pray that for each other. We really do. Because we are people, I once heard this somewhere, that our heart is like an idol factory. I don't know where I read that, but it's so true. We're so easily prone to make idols of good things, but they shouldn't be gods, right? And then we're not blameless till the day of Christ. It doesn't mean we lose our salvation, but we're not blameless. And then he goes on, verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which I like what he says here, which are by who? Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Any righteousness that you're going to do came through Christ, through his death and resurrection. He works in our hearts then, and then we produce fruits of righteousness. We should be, he says there, be filled with the fruits of righteousness. All that fruit that you know of, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, that should be more and more appearing in your life. And there's never a point in time when, well, I'm done producing fruit, right? Unless you're in the grave, then you're done. But until then, I don't see anywhere in the Bible that says you should stop producing fruit, you know, because fruit is unto the glory and praise of Christ, which means if there's no fruit, I'm not honoring Christ with my life. If I say, I'm done, I don't want to produce fruit because it hurts sometimes, well, then Christ doesn't get honored in my life. And I want to honor Christ for all that he's done. I'm not trying to pay him back, but I just want to give him the value. He's excellent, right? He's excellent. So these are just some things that you can pray for the Taylors, that we will love what is excellent, we'll prove what is excellent, that we'll, our love will grow more for God and for people, especially for people, because people are annoying sometimes. Right? I know they're not annoying here, right, at all. You don't have anybody like that here in Kansas City. But I was thinking, as I was watching this video, you're gone for 6 months. You totally forget how people are. Brazilians, I'm saying. But I remember the last week I was in Brazil, I told my brother, I was really frustrated. We were trying to deal with some document I was trying to get. And I told my brother, I'm so sick of the bureaucracy in this country. I told David, you, please pray that I'll want to come back here, because the people can be annoying at times. It is a different culture, and it is a third world culture, and that's annoying to me. You know why? Because I'm from a first world culture, and especially now, as I come back in the States, everything is cleaner. Everybody seems nicer. Prices are much better, especially on Black Friday. And you know, and I'm like, oh, it's going to be hard to go back, you know. In some ways it's harder, okay. I'm excited to go back, but in some ways it's harder because I know some of these things. And I've just got to go back, and I can't compare, you know, United States with Brazil. I can't do it. You know, how people are there and how people treat customers here. You can wear a pair of tennis shoes for a couple of days and take them back here. And there, I'd get laughed in my face if I tried that, you know. just all these differences, and it causes you to get upset with the people, and then you lose that opportunity to share the gospel with them. It's the very reason we're there, and we kind of shoot ourselves in the foot. So these are ways you can pray for us that we will keep in mind why we're there, love more and more the Lord, first of all, and people that we're there with, even the annoying ones, and that God would be honored in our lives. We know you're praying, because I believe that's one of the main reasons that we didn't quit and give up halfway through the hard part, that we wanted to give up. We wanted to give up. And I believe you were praying, and God's like, no, you stay there. You're fine. You're fine. You're fine. And I'm glad, because now we see some fruit of sticking around, you know, of just enduring a little bit of the hardship. And it wasn't that much hardship compared to what some missionaries are going through right now in, you know, persecuted countries. But I thank you because you're praying, and I just want to challenge you, keep praying. And if you ever wonder, what should I pray for the Taylors, just open Philippians 1 and read that those three verses, 9 through 11, for James and Kristen, that Kristen and James would love more and more. They would prove what is excellent. They would be filled with fruits of righteousness. They would be pure and blameless. That they would not be the missionaries that fall into sin, but they would be pure and blameless till the day Christ comes back. And I want to try and pray that for you guys, you know, while I'm down there, that God would do that in your lives. Because I believe God is not done yet with the work, but He's guaranteed He's going to finish it. And I believe He's going to finish it through us praying one for another. All right? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word, how clear it is. Thank You that You love us with a steadfast love. We don't have a steadfast love for You. We fail You a lot. We love a lot of things that are not excellent, and we ignore You. And it doesn't make sense in light of all You've done for us, especially in redeeming us from sin and from death and giving us eternal love. It doesn't make sense to ignore You like that, but we do. And I pray for Fairhaven Baptist Church that You would that You would help them to love, that their love would abound more and more in knowledge and judgment, that they would approve that which is excellent, so that they would be pure and blameless till the day of Christ. They'd be filled with fruits of righteousness, so that You would be glorified and honored in their lives, in the lives of this church, here in this neighborhood, Lord. I know You still want to do things for Your glory and honor, and I pray that You would keep on working in their hearts, using Your Word, using each other, to honor You. Thank You for this time we've had today in Your house. Thank You for these believers. Thank You for how You use them in my life to pray for us in our ministry in Brazil. In Jesus' name, amen.